This is the social media sinister, the crowd proclaimed human trending topic, the hashtag candid attention bandit, Twitter's favorite face of Facebook, and the OG of IG, Ken Warren, and you're listening to me on the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. Hashtag, the pleasure's all mine.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. We're at episode number 31. Stan C. at your service. Raf Kam is to my right. Romoran right across me. How's it going, boys?
Fuck this traffic, yo. Fuck it all. Like, dear Manila, fuck you. Fuck all of you.
Wow, glad to see you're in such a good mood. How about you, Mr. Kamus?
I hate Manila traffic. There is no way to get around it. We should never record on Friday nights ever again.
Ever again.
Never.
Wait, we have to do this properly. We are never, ever doing this again.
You're just trying to, you're
pushing
you're trying to shrug the blame off because this is your fault.
This is the family's fault.
No.
This is the family's fault.
We're still recording in your place of work.
No, and it was his idea.
For you.
It was him who made us record on Friday night.
Yo, if we were going to record on Saturday, we won't be able to get this set up. The multi-mic, we have to place ourselves. We have no other choice.
Fine.
We don't have a choice, brother.
Anyway, we're here.
Yeah, we're here. We made it
on a Friday night.
Yeah, last Friday night was Halloween. I saw your costume, Camus. I got to give you props. You pulled off a very convincing El Generico.
El Generico dos.
El Generico. Well, the thing was, I was really gunning for a new angle with the costume. I was trying to become my own character, but when I laced up my boots, when I put on the mask and put on the cape, I realized no way that I'm somebody else. I am fucking El Generico.
Yeah, what the hell?
There is no way to get around it.
If someone recognizes you as El Generico, you are El Generico.
I had a name tag.
No, I mean, like, you know, off the mask.
You got an OLA chant, didn't you?
Okay. Just so for those who didn't see my post, I got an Olay chant started at the party that I went to. I found a guy who came as The Rock, Modern The Rock, with the new belt,
not,
and the tattoos,
not fanny pack,
not fanny pack,
rock.
Not fanny pack. Although a lot of people in the States did go with that.
Yeah, I know. I love that costume.
So this is Via Satellite Rock.
Via Satellite Rock. Actually, no.
That's a great idea for a costume. Via Satellite Rock.
My TV screen guy. Yeah.
But yeah, the guy who came as a Rocky actually had the fake tattoos going on. He had a cut-off shirt.
He was bald.
He had less hair than I'd admit he had. But that
was he jacked though? Was he jacked?
He was jacked.
Yeah. Yeah. Rock.
And he had a print out version of the current WWE belt, which was
print out
like very cheap cartolina. So midway through the party, we went to the parking lot, and then people saw it, and then they're just like, Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. And I started getting my friends who knew about El Generico to do an Ole chant, and then people rolled with it.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
Easy as hell to do. And we got the chant off going in the middle of the parking lot.
So you had a stare down.
Yeah, in Ortigas Home Depot.
Holy shit.
Yo, but that
awesome
guy was Jack. Sana he would have given you rock ball or some shit.
I don't think he could.
Why? Because you're big?
Because, you know what? If I had time, I would be doing PWR boot camp.
I should have.
But you know what? Shout out to the boys at PWR. You guys are doing good things with that boot camp. Our boy Ro is a good testament to that. But
what do you know, though?
We talk about this on the show every week.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing with you.
We should make it a segment, like a weekly boot camp
weekly
update.
I don't know if the
weekly boot camp update.
And you turn heel faster than Randy Orton did back in 2002.
Oh,
why?
With the injury update. Remember that?
What?
You injury update, yeah, papi.
Right. I get it now. Well, yeah, probably. Okay, so my Halloween was it was all right. It was not as eventful as I'd hoped it would be due to some factors. I had this really annoying cold though, so I don't know if it was allergies or if it was just the weather being so cold now.
Yeah.
But I was sniffling all throughout and my nose was itchy.
Oh, that sucks, man.
Yeah. So, and I was trying to wear a mask, right?
Great.
Diba?
Now you gotta have
no. Fine.
No. Dry cleaned even.
Jesus. You're way too germophobic. No, but
no, it was, well, Ebola's out there.
Yeah, dude. I don't have Ebola. What the fuck, guys?
The fuck do I know, man?
I haven't gone through an airport like some people.
Not a doctor.
Moving on.
So yeah, I couldn't wear the mask for too long because the best way to wear it is to wear it tightly around your neck, right?
Yes.
And since it was pressing down on my itchy nose, I couldn't handle it for too long. And in a way, that coupled with my feeling a bit claustrophobic with it.
You know what? I kind of felt the same way.
I spent my Halloween
wearing a mask as well.
All three of us, actually.
Mm-hmm. All three of us wore masks
on
Halloween.
Did you feel claustrophobic in your
mask?
No,
because for those of you who don't know, the El Generico mask is actually quite stretchy.
Oh, yeah,
Especially around the chin.
Good for you, because
nylon, is it?
Nylon lycra.
Because in Dos Caras mask, man, it really presses on your face.
Yeah, it's
like,
really
I felt
heavy,
like my nose is really being pressed on, and I was on the air, pa.
Yeah.
So you know, I was trying to put on a 4-hour show. Na parang ngongo kasi the mask was really pressing on my nose. But so yeah, that was my Halloween. I was dressed
the material
up as Dos
Caras. Of those masks, the ones that Stan got from Japan, are kind of heavy, yo.
Very heavy.
The type you would wear to actually wrestle.
No, it is.
It's just because it looks and feels like it can hold up to like a slap to the face.
Okay. Yeah, it has to be sturdy, kasi. Yeah. So that's why it's that heavy. So and then, but my Mystico mask, for example, is also breathable nylon lycra. Yeah, so I think I would have had a better time wearing that, but it's all right.
We're saving it for next year.
Yeah, next year, maybe, or another mask, right?
Or we could put together a party and have everybody come in luchador masks. That would be awesome.
Or wrestling costumes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Shout out if you want a party like that. We will put it together.
Hit us up. Say the word.
That wasn't a costume party. We just tried to put together a party, but it wasn't a costume party. I think now if you get people to dress up as their favorite wrestlers, that might be a bigger draw.
Again, hit us up if you have an idea or if you're game. We're on Twitter. It's at Stan947.
At Caveman Camus.
At Rose War. And you can email us as well at the SGPpodcast@gmail.com.
And with that, let's get to the meat of the show. We've got a very packed show. We've got interviews happening. Got our boys from PWR, Ken Warren and Chris Panzer. They're going to talk about their rematch at Terminus. We also have our regular segments of Spots and Botched List. We also have Bose Avenue, the return of Bose Avenue. And we've got some breaking kayfabe news on top of our picks of the week to close out the show. All right, let's get to it. We've got a packed list for Spots and Botches. Once again, this is the list of things that we like and do not like about this week in wrestling. Let's start off with, why don't we start off with Lucha Underground? Because, Lucha Underground debuted last week. The second episode came out yesterday.
Right. On the El Rey Network, a channel we do not get.
Right. We don't get the El Rey Network, so we have to resort to some underground methods to obtain our Lucha Underground. But that's okay. I actually find it entertaining as a product. Like, I think it's something I might be following full time.
So do I. To be honest with you, I'm not able to catch as much TNA as I have been, maybe a month ago.
Yeah.
But now, the Lucha Underground product is only an hour long, and it's easier to digest for us. Because not just the fact that it's an hour long, but the storylines are better written, at least. They're more straightforward in a way.
Yeah.
And it's easier to follow when it's in it, when you're starting it from the very start.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, I've only seen bits and snippets of Lucha Underground, but all I have to say is production value is so high on this show.
And I guess it's because the executive producer is Mark Burnett. He's the guy behind Survivor, and I'm a huge fan of Survivor, a huge fan of Mark Burnett. I'm just marking out the fact that, Mark Burnett invested in wrestling, and he's putting out a good product so far.
Very, yeah. So far, so good. I mean, technically, it's good wrestling, but show-wise, this is not your regular wrestling show.
No, it's not.
If you're used to watching TNA or WWE, it doesn't feel the same.
Okay, fuck that. I say fuck that because Matt Stryker, the play-by-play guy on Lucha Underground, is saying the same damn thing every show. It's only been two episodes, but he never ever lets up on that fact that you're watching a whole different product. And nothing screams insecurity more than saying that this isn't the wrestling you're used to seeing on your TV, brother, dude, Jack. But it's so insecure of them to keep saying now this isn't like the mainstream wrestling.
Then again, when TNA was starting out, they always had those veiled pot shots at WWE as well.
No, they still do. They still do take, not even veiled anymore. Not that direct. Veiled. Yeah, the last ECW storyline with EC3, that was like an entire veiled pot shot at WWE. And they still do it. And it's so insecure of them to do so. And I know that Lucha Underground is a totally different product than the mainstream wrestling that we see. And it's better for them to just show it instead of just hammering on that talking point. Because it's also insulting the viewer's intelligence that we can already tell just from the presentation alone that it's a completely different product. You don't have to tell me, you don't have to talk down to me and tell me that I'm watching a different thing.
You know, I appreciate the fact na it is different in the sense na parang telenovela. And I think this is something that a lot of people have brought up. Now, it's got this Mexican telenovela feel that you don't really see in American wrestling, like if you're used to watching WWE or TNA or even the indies. Yeah. So, that's something I look
actually
forward to.
It kind of reminds me of Breaking Bad.
The gritty feel. Yeah,
exactly.
No, I don't know if we should bring this up right now, but the cutscenes, like if you actually watch some of the backstage scenes going on in Lucha Underground, they remind me of cutscenes in a video game, especially yung mga scenes ni Conan and Prince Puma. What it reminds me of is like if you're create a wrestler character in a WWE video game and you have this mentor just talking to you, especially since Prince Puma doesn't respond in the backstage promos.
He doesn't at all. He doesn't talk.
Right. So partial video game, diba? Yung mga cutscenes sa mga video games when you're in career mode. That's how it comes across to me. And because I'm a fan of game modes like that, I actually find that particularly enjoying.
Yeah. And considering that we're only two episodes in the Lucha Underground, there's a lot of time for you guys to catch up and see what it is for yourselves.
Right, and again, it's easier to follow to start from this very beginning. Pero, ako naman, while I do enjoy the different approach to the backstage vignettes, I just hope that they are able to work more into making the two types of vignettes, the backstage segment and the actual in-ring match, to be a bit more consistent in feel and look. That's just me.
All right, now let's get to our next item on the list. Since we're still talking about Lucha Underground, here's something that we kind of find questionable. So if you've been watching Lucha Underground, you've probably encountered the character Son of Havoc. Son of Havoc is a masked wrestler, but he's also a gringo.
Right, and might I remind you, based on Vampiro's words, he's not Havoc, he's Havoc's son.
He's Son of Havoc. That's right. And right now, Son of Havoc is actually feuding with a female wrestler.
Right, called Sexy Star.
Right, yeah. She's sexy and a star. So she's Sexy Star.
Right.
But I like the characterization of Sexy Star. Like when they first introduced her in episode one, she was talking about female empowerment.
Yeah, she was, I think, a rape victim or an abuse victim.
Right.
And I like that particular angle. It's not trivializing rape or abuse. It's just providing a kind of a powerful background for her to come from. See, she's portrayed as having risen above that, and that's really nice.
It's great to see someone draw from a negative experience and turn that into a positive. And they're really writing Sexy Star very well right now.
Well, not very well, because I didn't like what happened last week. She lost after Son of Havoc pinned her after this a counter to her move.
But it was a cheap win for Son of Havoc.
It wasn't it. It wasn't a cheap win. It was a quick win that didn't even come from a finisher. Unless that transition move was his finisher, which I doubt it was.
Now in episode 2, Son of Havoc and Sexy Star faced off again in an intergender tag match, this time with Son of Havoc teaming up with Ivelisse and Sexy Star teaming up with Chavo Guerrero, and I believe you have an issue with that.
Yeah, last week then, right before the match, of course, Son of Havoc, being the typical male heel, he dresses down Sexy Star for even daring to have a match with him. Because it's an intergender match, a one-on-one versus him and Sexy Star. And, any typical heel would say that, oh, you're a girl, why would you be stepping in the ring with me, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Sexy Star rose to the challenge but came up short, and now Son of Havoc is teaming with Ivelisse, as you said,
who's a woman
And my question is, how are you okay with the fact that you're teaming with Ivelisse after the things you've said to Sexy Star last week?
Actually, hindi tanong kayo, parang what makes Ivelisse such a baddie? Like, I guess because hindi nila siya introduced in episode 1. So they just introduced her in episode 2. And like, they didn't do enough to characterize Ivelisse as someone who's actually reprehensible or as someone who's actually okay with teaming up with a misogynist character like Son of Havoc. So I think it's something worth questioning and worth thinking about heading into episode 3.
Yeah, Sana episode 3 addresses these things better.
Right, so now that we've talked about Lucha Underground, let's talk about the WWE and let's talk about some spots and botches we've seen in the WWE. I like how we're actually talking about a different promotion entirely.
Well, we talked about TNA before.
Yeah, but in detail, like, you know, with a spot and a botch, which we did once, yeah, with TNA. But, yeah, it's just refreshing. Thank you, Lucha Underground.
We need to start watching TNA again, though.
Yeah, we do.
Even just for Manic.
Yeah, even just for Manic.
Now, let's talk about Vince McMahon. Let's talk about VKM because he did return this week on Raw, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal because when's the last time we saw Vince?
We talk about this in the segment, but we last saw Vince before SummerSlam of last year.
So it's been a while. So
it's been
miss,
a long right? while.
A long
since
ass
Vince
while.
Has been on TV.
So, you know, for that reason alone, having him come back is a spot.
Yeah. Because Vince is the kind of person that you don't really miss when he's around. But when he's gone,
you take notice.
Yeah, not necessarily take notice, but when he's gone and he comes back, you're just, oh my God, I'm so happy that he's back again.
You know what I notice about having Vince come back? I notice that they bring him back to come up with some really big news, some really big shit's about to happen.
Yeah. That's how he's been using him lately.
And when he returned this week on Raw, he announced a bombshell, which is another spot on our list. And that's the fact that the traditional Survivor Series match isn't just a 5-on-5 affair between Team Cena and Team Authority. There's something up for grabs.
Which is the power of Team Authority.
That's
which
right.
Which is a callback to Survivor Series 2003.
Team Austin versus Team Bischoff.
Arguably the best Survivor Series match.
My all-time favorite. So, you know, it's really interesting how they've managed to tie that in, and now it just adds another layer to what's already a compelling storyline.
Yeah. For the first time in a while, we have a Survivor Series match that matters. We brought it up last week, but then this week, it really got built up on. I mean, Vince added something that only Vince could do.
Yeah.
Because
literally, that's the only thing.
He's the only guy who has the power to do that. And I mean, having the authority as the main authority figure on WWE for
over a year
of the authority being in power is the first time that they're actually getting challenged or actually have the potential to be challenged.
Thank you for bringing that up because I kind of feel that they're starting to feel like their back is against the wall.
That's
even
true.
Though it's not necessarily the case because as of now, feeling mo pa rin si Cena yung dehado eh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, pero they're starting to feel a little bit of the urgency and the pressure to actually come up with a good team. That's why they're actively scouting, like as of last episode.
And that's something I mentioned again. That now here comes the fun part. That they're actually looking for members on their team, and I love this part of the Survivor Series buildup.
Kasi dati, diba, like they would just slap together some people, like five faces in 5 years. Wala yung formation.
Now,
hindi mo nakita
now
kung paano.
Now they're putting it together like a Lego house.
Yeah.
Tangina naman eh.
This is the first time we're actually seeing tension with who's gonna join who. And this especially goes for Randy Orton at this point.
Thanks for bringing up Randy Orton. A great segue to our next spot on the list. Randy Orton and his feud with the Authority.
I love this Randy Orton. More
cocaine fuel. Yeah. How do you call it?
Randy Orton on speed.
Yeah, there.
Yeah. I beg to differ, though. It's cocaine.
It's meth.
He's fucked up. He's taken something. Or glasses from Paul Heyman.
Tangina guys, mga durugista kayo. But alam niya.
We just know
these
things.
No, but it's really
bad
fun.
Yun,
You need to
we
see.
Do not condone the use of dangerous drugs.
Yeah, we drugs are bad, kids. Stay in school.
Buddy,
take your vitamins.
Let me. Get high with God, not with drugs. I love seeing that on Jeeps, bro.
God.
I love seeing that on Jeeps.
Oh, shit.
And all right, going back.
Seriously, though.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
It is a hell of a drug. And
not that we know.
Well, we see it on Randy Orton.
Yeah, we see it
have
on
you
Randy
seen,
Orton.
You should see the backstage segment he has with
he
Triple
just keeps
H.
going. He just keeps going.
Co captains, you don't have to stomach this.
And he says everything in one breath.
I'm gonna keep doing it and doing it and doing it.
Says everything in one breath.
And,
wow,
and this is the most entertaining we've seen.
Yeah,
Randy
it's the
Orton
most
in a long time.
Entertaining. Yeah,
I dare say ever.
Here we go again.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I dare say that this is probably the most entertaining iteration of the Randy Orton character.
And he has motivation. That's the thing. For the first time in a long time, he has a reason to be doing what he does.
Yeah, because, yo, have you ever been so mad? Have you ever been so mad?
To take cocaine.
No. Or maybe after you took cocaine. No, but have you ever been so mad?
Not that we know.
Stop it. I know. Yes, disclaimer, we don't take drugs. Not those kinds of drugs. Just digging a deeper hole each time.
It's all you, boys. All you.
That's you.
I've
that's
been silent
you.
Right here.
Have you ever been so mad that you had to be held back? And the kind of anger na alam mo ikaw yung tama.
Teka lang, papi, para familiar to ah. Kasi papi nagbabasa ako ng Grappler.
Oh, papi.
Si Joe the Grappler parang yun yung sinulat niya. I didn't know you were a fan of Joe the Grappler.
I do agree with
fuck
this.
Joe the Grappler. Yo, come on. I'm actually gonna defend.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna defend that Cinemark right now because he's actually right.
He's
an
Orton Mark now.
Actually,
baling-bing.
Yeah, because I said that.
Yeah, but he makes a good point.
He makes a very good point.
But it's a valid point, but he's a dipshit.
No, but he's the only way he's an idiot is because he fucked up the line.
Yeah, dude.
He fucked up the line. It's rage against the dying of the light.
You had one job, kid.
You had one job.
Damn it, Joe! Seriously, though, in all seriousness, you might want to check out his columns at Rappler.com.
Anyway, yeah, that's before
he gives
we,
us cheap advertisement.
Before
and we don't
we,
pay him.
So I'm being nice.
Before we plug him too much, it's just that. No, I'm saying that. Have you ever been so mad that you had to be held back? And alam mo nasa tama ka, pero di mo magawa ng paraan kasi if you go crazy on someone, the consequences might be on you.
Right. We've all been there.
We've all been there.
Professionally and personally.
Right. Oh, parang may hugot to.
Medyo.
No, but seriously, we all know how that feels. That's why we can all relate to Randy Orton right now.
Right, exactly. And parang you just wanted to be the guy that hit your boss when he's being a dick or something.
Or hit that bully who was giving you shit in class.
And it's a callback to what made Steve Austin so popular.
Here's the thing, though. Like, and this is something I'm going to credit Ryan Songalia of Rappler for. Like, Randy Orton is best when he's not necessarily a good guy sticking up for values, but when he's Randy Orton who fucks with anybody not named Randy Orton.
Yeah, basically.
And that's basically what he is right now.
No, like, it just so happens, again, that now the Randy Orton's mission is something we can all relate to.
Right.
He just needs to RKO the fuck out of everyone at this
point.
That's true.
Which she's, you know, so really close to doing. And, you know, at this rate, I think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to be on Team Cena.
Well, if he shows up for Survivor Series.
Yeah. If but he's fully recovered.
What I want to see there is, assuming he's going to be on Team Cena, Team Cena wins the match, but then he RKOs the fuck out of everyone.
That would be fun.
Or
be fun.
He doesn't make the match, and then he comes back after the match and RKOs the fuck out of everyone.
What if he does a Daniel Bryan? Remember SummerSlam 2010?
I am mystery and mystery tag partner.
Yeah, mystery tag team partner.
That's probably
where they're going with it. Yeah.
Parang yung most likely scenario, diba?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, you know, I wouldn't mind either. But yeah, Randy Orton, it's a spot on the list. We love it. Let's talk about something that makes us happy. Another thing that makes us happy, the fact that our boy Rusev is a champion.
Rusev Udria.
I hope that he turns it into a Russian championship.
Whoa, dude.
Anyway, we're jumping ahead. For those who don't know, Rusev and Sheamus had this title match post-Raw, exclusively on the network. And that's a botch in itself.
Yes, it is. Because I didn't get to see it. I still haven't seen it, but I know the result.
No, not just that. But the fact that they had to run it on the network kind of paints them in a corner. So now, it's either you have to give Rusev the championship on this weird-ass post-Raw show that doesn't really draw anyone except those interested enough to sign up for the network or those already on the network, or you hand him his first loss on
that
stage.
Which they're not doing.
And you know they're not giving him his first loss right there. Because it's like a landmark event. Dapat, yeah. It's their first ever post-Raw show.
Yeah, so now you have to pick between the two evils. Do you give him his first championship on that weird, small post-Raw network exclusive?
Where you have less people watching.
Exactly. Hopefully more people tune in or sign up for the network because of that.
Or do you give him that first Rusev loss?
Right. And we know now what happened. Pero it's a bit of a waste then. It was a good match, for sure.
Good moment, also.
Yeah, it was a good moment as well. Well, for any Rusev fan,
yeah.
But it was a waste of a big moment. It was really just
a
lesser...
It could have been bigger. It could have been a lot bigger. Yeah. I mean, if they did it on SmackDown...
Not even. Well, yeah.
Maybe, I would have liked it.
It would have been better than post-Raw Network exclusive. Right?
I mean, that's usually what we see after the post-show is like a dark match that goes on.
Yeah.
That's what we expect from post-Raw type stuff. Like, when you watch backstage, older episodes of backstage, you see that the usual post-Raw dark match starts going on. But not something that has meaning.
Not something that you can actually write into canon.
Exactly. Not something that you have to show. It's because technically this is must-watch TV. This is a title change happening.
But I do agree with what happened, man. I think the title change is not bigger than his first loss. So, well, I guess it was the lesser of two evils.
It's a creative way of booking.
But it's not the greatest gamble.
It's not the best thing that we want, considering that we're not getting the network yet.
Yeah, that's why it's a spot and a botch. Hey, speaking of networks, the NBA League Pass is available in the Philippines moving forward. WWE Network, where you at, bro?
Guys. Did they pay to do that?
No, I'm not. I'm really not.
Is NBA.com paid?
Yo, I'm not. Okay. I'm just totally being an NBA junkie at this point.
Okay.
We are full swing into the season.
Yeah, we are. Yes, we are. Let's talk about the depth of the roster right now, of the WWE roster, because you had a lot of guys pulling double duty, and that's not a good thing. So if we're going to make NBA comparisons, you had a WWE roster that was depleted. They were kind of like the Oklahoma City Thunder, hashtag everybody down. Except, you know, the Thunder, they were injured, but the WWE guys, man, half of them were on tour already.
We didn't have to do with the Rusev and Sheamus matches. I mean, it was a nice moment for Tyson Kidd to have a win against Sheamus.
On Raw.
But I don't think, or I think we would have been better off with a promo or a confrontation, right?
True.
Right, yeah. I agree. You know, you had multiple matches from multiple guys. Seth Rollins is one of them. But then again, you know, it's hard to bitch against seeing too much of Seth Rollins because Seth Rollins is money.
Seth Rollins is one of the most enjoyable guys.
Yeah,
right now.
He is working harder than Cena right now, I think. No?
Yeah, he's considering that Cena wasn't on Raw.
You're right. Well, he was all over the place, though. He was in New York to LA to Alaska, I think, or wherever, and then to London in the span of 3 days.
Shana.
Pero. Seth was the workhorse in this episode of Raw.
Yeah.
And it's fucking crazy because you would think that he would slow down by the second match, which was a bigger match between him and Randy Orton, but he's kept going and going.
All the way until the very end.
Walang palya, no? And wow, congratulations, Seth Rollins. And this guy is the future. He is a small, agile guy, lighter than 220 pounds. And who'd have thought, right?
He's like the Kevin Durant of the WWE right now. Insert, you're the real MVP.
You're the real MVP.
But after this episode of Raw, I have to say, I really think Seth Rollins moving forward can actually carry a full show.
But I think he needs to slow down if we all know what's good for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his indie days, he didn't necessarily wrestle a light schedule. Daniel Bryan as a benchmark for all of this.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to see another Daniel Bryan guy because... Last year we saw him work so hard to get to that WrestleMania moment. Like, he went through hell.
Right.
He went through hell of a schedule wrestling almost every night for a year. And if Seth Rollins goes at this rate, he might just injure himself. And that's the last thing we want to see, especially with the depleted roster.
You know, we talked about like an off-season in wrestling some episodes ago. Like, I think it was one of our first episodes. And is this the right time to talk about an off-season again?
No, not yet.
Not yet. I mean...
Going off your point, but Daniel Bryan worked twice as hard. He worked twice as hard
as anyone.
As anyone, but he worked twice as hard as what Seth Rollins need to how much Seth Rollins needs to work to get to the top. He's already on the fast track there. He has the briefcase, right?
Actually, yeah, when you think about it. And, you know, he's in a position where hindi siya pang underdog na character.
He's not. He's really not. He's really crowned as a future.
He's the chosen one.
Yeah, he is the chosen one.
Don't jinx it, man. Don't jinx it.
Alam na.
Let's hope he doesn't go Drew's way, you know?
He talk better than Drew can, for sure. You can even claim that Seth Rollins right now is more chosen than Roman Reigns is.
No, I can actually agree with that.
I can.
For now. For now, while Reigns is on the sideline.
Just because Seth Rollins has a more complete game.
For now.
And so let's leave it at that for now.
I hope it stays that way.
Let's leave it at that. Right. Let's talk about other things happening in the world of the WWE. How about that Eric Rowan segment with Renee Young? My girl Renee and Eric Rowan. Two characters you wouldn't exactly imagine together. I found it funny. Just because it was so awkward, you know?
This is the new Rowan gimmick, I guess. He's the creep god.
And I don't get it. Parang, why did they have to peg him down? Like, it was nice having him as a serious creepy heel, but not as a perverted version of
that. Well, he wasn't perverted necessarily. I mean, it just comes across as creepy. It's not sexual yet.
No, in a way, it was. It was. And when you think about it, parang, they're trying to make him adorable in a weird way. Parang, he was just trying to tell Renee she was pretty. Gets mo? Parang, it kind of shits on the credibility of the Eric Rowan character that they built from the Bray Wyatt.
I don't think it shits the credibility.
I think it does.
No. It depends on what else they do with him.
I mean, Rowan used to wrestle as that guy who, once he takes off the mask, he becomes an animal type, right?
Yeah, pero that segment kasi tried to make light of that. So gets mo, parang it wasn't as serious. Like, being
obviously very not serious at all.
Yeah, kasi gets mo yung point, parang dati, being in the same frame as Eric Rowan meant that you were gonna get fucked really badly. Pero now that you have...
Context.
But okay, but you get what I'm trying to say. Yeah, now that he's in the same screen as Renee Young, and then they try to make it a lighthearted moment.
It was not a lighthearted moment.
They can't try. There's so much tension there.
Yeah,
but
it was not lighthearted.
And for the five seconds that it happened.
Right, fine. Hindi siya sasabihin mo na parang lighthearted na nakakatawa.
No, it was funny for me kasi it was funny how that moment played out, but it wasn't, for sure, it was not lighthearted. It was
okay, fine.
Creepy as fuck.
It was creepy, but it wasn't that in tipong parang you would fear for your life.
It was an awkward.
No, you wouldn't know because you're not a girl.
Right, but you wouldn't know either.
What? Because we're not girls.
Because you're not women either.
Feminism!
Yeah, but I know that it's more of a threatening thing for Renee. You thought it was light. I thought it was heavier.
I thought it was awkward.
Yeah, I thought it was awkward. I didn't necessarily think it was light. I thought they were trying to make it light.
It wasn't the cute, awkward where you're like, "Oh, look at him. He's a big sheep."
Hindi, ano naman basta sa akin? Pero siguro after a few days of having watched that segment, I just thought na parang they might go in a direction where they're trying to make him adorable.
It's not adorable.
He's not a cute sheep that you can pet. It's just like, holy shit, this guy is gonna rape me.
Sorry, let me finish.
See, exactly. That's what I was saying.
That's the kind of vibe that you're getting of him.
Exactly. That's why I said it was heavy.
That's the serious. That's the best. Okay, that's the best case scenario.
That is not best.
Hold up.
No one wants to get raped.
Let me finish. You're not letting me fucking finish my thought.
Then fucking finish.
The best case scenario for that character is what you were trying to say. Na parang, yeah, he's creepy because you think he's gonna rape you. Worst case scenario, na parang, oh, you know, he's a lighthearted figure. He's actually a cute cuddly bear under that sheep mask. But that's what they're trying to. That's the worst thing that could happen to that character.
But it's not. It's not.
That's what I'm seeing.
What kind of weird ass are you?
That's what I'm seeing. Parang,
you think it was adorable?
No, okay. I didn't think it was adorable. I'm just afraid that they might make him adorable that way.
That's what I'm trying to fucking say.
But WWE creative, roll with this. Let's see what you've got for him.
I think,
honestly, it needs time.
It's not glorifying rape, for sure. It's not.
It's no way it is.
I don't want it to.
I don't think.
No one wants it.
I don't think it's them making it adorable or Eric Rowan adorable in any way. I don't think it is. Unless you're reading into it a bit pessimistic.
I know. I've seen fan fiction on Tumblr about the sheep.
Shush.
It's so wrong.
Can we not?
Is
go
there fan fiction with the sheep and the bunny?
Yes.
God.
I mean, we used
Jesus.
To, a few weeks ago, we talked about an animals division.
Just stop it. Stop it now.
We are killing this segment.
Enough.
Moving on.
All right, let's move on to better things. Sami Zayn and Tyson Kidd on main event.
My boy!
It was a pleasant surprise, though. I think you would think that a lot of people would complain, no, about how Sami Zayn suddenly showed up on Main Event without any prior advertising. But what are they going to do with him now?
They gave him a promo package.
Yeah, I mean, it was a random appearance, and you think fanboys would complain about that?
I have zero complaints.
Yeah,
I have zero complaints
as well.
You know, I haven't seen the match, but I'm not complaining either.
No, it was a match because it made sense. It was versus Tyson Kidd,
Had trouble with.
Yeah, someone everyone knows he has feuded with, and that's why I guess most people complain about it. Pero sayang lang din.
Unadvertised.
Yeah.
Unadvertised.
If you want to advertise the fucking network, don't do this weird post-Raw show match thing.
Do this on Main Event.
Yeah. No, not just that. Tell your guys or tell your audience that this guy they really like seeing on NXT is showing up on Main Event.
You have to cross-promote your shows that air exclusively on the network. That's proper promotions.
No. When I first saw on Twitter, my fellow wrestling fan friends on Twitter... orgasming over Sami Zayn's appearance on Main Event, I immediately looked for a way to watch Main Event in real time.
Okay.
And a lot of that would translate into more people who don't have the network and could get the network rushing to get the network.
Right, right. That's actually how you properly market your network. That's how you market on-demand content.
Do they underestimate the drawing power of Sami Zayn?
No, you know why that's actually a more conducive way to promote the network, kasi mas accessible yung content in that sense. Like Main Event is accessible in the sense it airs at a schedule people follow, whereas
yeah,
if you make people go out of their way to watch a post Raw match, parang alam yun, some people have their schedules, some people have their routines,
and it's a very late post. I mean,
yeah,
post Raw is close to midnight in the
exactly
States?
Some people have
yeah,
to go to bed
by that time
the kids are asleep,
yeah. Bedtime na nila, right?
Wait, the crowd by that time the crowd they would have exhausted. Had like 4 hours of wrestling,
and you know, even if we love wrestling, putang ina, mapapagod ka rin.
Even Rusev and Sheamus wouldn't have been fresh.
Exactly, which is why they could have promoted Sami Zayn, Tyson Kidd,
nice
to promote the network.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Good intentions, bad execution. Could have been better,
as usual.
Moving on. Next item on the list, let's talk about The New Day. Xavier Woods being repackaged as some parang gospel guy.
Wait, sorry. Before we talk about Xavier Woods, am I the only one who looks at Xavier Woods' name and tries to pronounce it, thanks to NBA 2K, as Xavier Woods?
No, I try to pronounce it Xavier.
There is parang, you know, Xavier Henry.
You know, because we grew up in Xavier School.
Yeah, I know. But you don't call it Xavier School.
No, I'm trying to get used to calling it Xavier just because it sounds cooler. Xavier.
It doesn't sound pretentious.
Cooler.
Yeah,
Xavier.
It makes it sound pretentious.
When I first saw Days of not Days.
Parang the Ateneo.
Hey. Hey, just because I'm the only Atenean here on this podcast.
Yeah, you are the only Athenian on this podcast.
No, but you know, when I first saw First Class, X-Men First Class, I was so thrown off by how they pronounced Charles Xavier.
Yeah. That's okay. There are multiple pronunciations for the word Xavier. Xavier, Xavier, and Xavier are all acceptable.
Okay yan lahat. Basta hindi Xavier, pare.
Tama. We are not here
anyway,
to
going
save you.
Into a new day. I don't know what to make of it.
Neither do I. I just hope that, you know, that he doesn't get reduced to a comedy gimmick.
Well, it really is a comedy gimmick.
It is. From the very get-go, you have very stereotypical black gospel choir everything. From what we know, Xavier Woods is supposed to be teaming up with Kofi Kingston and
Big E
Langston to form this Super Friends,
Smart Athletic Friends.
Smart Athletic Friends.
Which
group.
They actually mentioned on Raw, right?
Yeah, they did mention it on Raw. They did go run, they have been running with it at live shows, at the live events, but we haven't seen anything yet. This new Blaxus, as we have dubbed it, has not shown its face. What's going to happen with that?
I just hope that, you know, the whole Blaxus idea doesn't get thrown to the wayside.
Because it's so good.
It has potential. Especially at the height of
The Ferguson killings.
Right.
Killing riots.
Thank you.
Killing riots.
But anyway, we don't even know if Big E and Kofi are going along with this new gimmick.
I hope they do
because the only reason why I'm going to buy into it is if... because it's going to give Big E and Kofi better gimmicks. better characters.
Because they had
it's
none.
It's gonna give them characters, period.
And I want Big E to be the Deacon. Deacon Langston.
Because when you see Big E on Instagram, he's got character.
Yeah, he's funny. He's funny. A funny dude.
And Xavier Woods is hilarious also. Yeah.
I still can't get over the roof is not my son, but I will raise it. If they run with that kind of shit, they will get over.
Yeah. No, because these guys are naturally fun guys.
Fun. Yeah, Big E's a funny guy.
Big E's a funny guy. Kofi is, well
he could be funny.
Kofi can be funny, but there's just so much that these guys can do and aren't doing yet.
So, Here's the hoping.
Good luck, Sayak. Knock on wood.
All right, let's get to our last item on this list. Finn Balor finally making his debut on NXT. I was waiting for that.
This moment in NXT debuts was not the best.
Yeah, but I have a friend.
He's coming.
Entrance music plays.
Badass music.
Badass music plays. And, well, they were banking on, I think for the first time ever, or maybe the second time ever, they were banking on Prince Devitt's international popularity to
immediately translate.
Yeah, yeah. And in a way, it did. It did, yeah. The man. But,
because he's not an unknown.
But it translated as well to lazy booking on that end.
True that.
But I was thinking of more exciting ways to bring him into the picture.
Like just having him come out of nowhere to actually defend Hideo against the Ascension.
Right.
Exactly. But this build up was predictable.
We've seen spoilers.
It's hard for you to discredit that. But the thing is, Finn Balor is once in a lifetime talent.
That's true.
Once in a lifetime talent, as are the rest of the NXT 5.
Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the NXT 5, they are Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, and Hideo Itami.
It's Kevin Owens' heart.
But yeah. these guys are once in a lifetime talents that WWE has imported from the indies, and it's just they could have done better. I have a feeling that they're going to be doing better with Steen.
Formerly
known as Kevin Steen. But the thing is, I just want these guys to be treated well because these guys are so good.
A lukewarm segment does not a terrible career make. So
of course,
I think it's gonna be alright. I think it's gonna be alright.
But they didn't even let him talk.
Well,
they can do that later.
They didn't need to.
But it's very simple. You fuck with my friend, I fuck with you.
Diba? But it could have been better then.
Could have been better. I mean,
I would have been okay with him just bum rushing an Ascension beatdown to save Hideo, unannounced.
But he gave a hell of a beatdown.
Oh yeah, he did.
Give a hell of a beatdown.
And Kenta, Hideo Itami.
Hideo Itami
did the running knee.
Yes, he did. He's taking it back.
Yeah.
GTS na lang.
Oh, well, he could have took it. He could have taken back a GTS.
That's next, Iba. GTS, we coming for you,
nigga.
All right, I guess that does it for this list of things that we like and didn't like in wrestling. Once again, we call this list
Spots and Matches.
All right. It's been a while since we've done this segment because we haven't had much time for it lately. But it's actually been the PWR guys, our friends from the PWR, who actually want to see this back, want to hear this back, and they actually wanted to get on it. But they're not here right now because we're still waiting for them.
They're kind of late tonight.
It's fine. It gives us more time to do our bullshit. And so we would like to bring back our very special segment where we reinterpret classics in the wrestling world. This is Bose Avenue.
So, Ro, what song will we be hearing from you tonight?
From me, ako lang talaga, no?
Yeah, because it's all you. It's so Bose Avenue.
Yeah, we're not throwing you under the bus.
No. I'm just saying.
We have no guts to sing.
The reason why I brought this back this week is to commemorate a special man in the wrestling world. We dedicate this week's Bose Avenue to the one and only Vladimir Putin. No, I'm just kidding. Not Vladimir Putin. We're actually dedicating it to the patriarch. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. Let me just head right into it. All right, here we go. One, a two, a one, two, three, four. No chance. That's what you got. No chance in hell. Up against a machine too strong. Petty politicians trying to souls from us like hobbits. We'll find their place in line. But tie a string around your finger now, boy, cause it's just a matter of time and they've got no chance. No chance at all. You've got no chance. Oh, no chance at all. You've got no chance. No chance at all.
Resorts World, Manila.
Oh, tindi nun. Yo, this is the first time I've actually imagined that song being sung.
What do you mean, Matt? What does that mean?
Because it's not really sung. It's
shouted
being, out.
Yeah, it's being yelled. No, no
chance! Yeah, pero may tono pa rin eh, kahit pa paano. Yung song. No
chance! But I'll
it's
give
not,
you
not
props.
Like the miss. Like
exactly.
The miss.
I'll give you props like for that. Song. I'll give you props for that interpretation, my friend.
I did it to honor the return of our patriarch, Mr. Vince McMahon. Was been away since what? I think before SummerSlam of last year, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Way before.
So it's been a whole year.
Almost a full calendar year.
Yeah, yeah. I know, actually more than
more than a full calendar year, yeah.
And the guy has been well, okay, we
he looks better now.
He does look better now. He looks younger than Triple H, but that is not hard to do.
I have an issue with his haircut though. Like I think it took him so long since he shaved his head to actually get that old haircut back.
No, he shaved his head back in what, 2006?
Exactly. Against, yeah, 2007.
No, I'm thinking that he shaved his head and then maybe he let it grow for a while. He didn't let it grow past a certain point. He just kept trimming from there. And then maybe after his last appearance, doon siya pinatubo ng lubos.
Nang lubos! Wow, we're getting very, very deep in our Tagalog. Pero okay yan. Kasi dapat talaga nagtatagalog tayo. Every now and then, di ba?
We are a Pinoy podcast.
Yeah, we are
a Pinoy podcast.
We are a podcast by the Filipino fan for the Filipino fan.
All right, and with that, that was Bose Avenue. And thank you for letting me sing.
In related news, since we just did Vincent Kennedy McMahon's entrance, we have some breaking kayfabe news this week. Brought to you by Reverend Devon Hughes and Deacon David Bautista, the Soup Kitchen. You won't have to deal with it. You will testify.
Excuse me, Bo. Hoping to draw attention away from World Wrestling Entertainment's underwhelming financial performance in the last fiscal quarter, WWE Chairman Vince McMahon reminded the world's media today that he remains undefeated against God. Mr. McMahon said at a press conference this morning, quote, "The streak is unbroken," end quote, as he deflected reporters' questions about the lower-than-predicted subscription rate to the WWE network. Mr. McMahon, never averse to brazen self-aggrandizement, spent the entire press conference bragging about how he and Son Shane defeated the team of Shawn Michaels and God at the 2006 Backlash pay-per-view. Mr. McMahon said, quote, "God claims to be the omniscient, all-powerful creator of the universe, but clearly I am the more supreme being. I am the omniscient, all-powerful creator of the WWE universe," end quote. Some skeptics have called into question whether the actual God participated in the match at all, given that he appeared only as a circle of white light, which could have easily been created by a bright spotlight. Mr. McMahon, however, scoffed at some suggestions, arguing that even God doesn't turn down a WWE contract. According to some wrestling insiders, God was sent back to WWE's developmental territory after the match for retraining and is currently known by the ring name Sami Zayn. Back to you, boys.
And that has been our Breaking Kayfabe News Update.
We've had them on the show before as individuals, but right now we're actually really lucky, really fortunate to have them together. And we're so happy that they haven't come to blows just yet. We are talking about two guys who are having a rematch at Terminus this December 6th. We have with us in the studio, Chris Panzer and the social media sinister, Ken Warren. Guys, welcome to the SGP podcast yet again.
Yeah, thanks for having us, guys. Well, me.
It's a pleasure for everyone hearing me right now to be back in the SGP podcast.
Thank you for not tearing up the studio yet.
Pleasure's all mine.
No, seriously, we are so grateful. Of course, we always love having guests, our friends from PWR. But, you know, just to have Ken Warren and Chris Panzer back in the studio, and I want to see this tension. I want to see this develop between you guys. First of all, you have to fill us in. What's going through your mind right now that you have your opponent from the last show, Renaissance and Terminus, in this booth, in this very enclosed space right now? Like, what's going through your mind, Ken?
I just got to ask, though, am I getting punk right now? It's like Ashton Kutcher gonna jump inside this room or something, or how about that victim show with like Carlos Agassi, right? Is he gonna jump in right now? Why am I in the same room with Panzer?
Wait, what victim?
What the hell?
How old is that reference?
Very, very old. But I remember that show.
But I'm actually young, dude. I'm actually young. I don't know.
I remember that show. It's called Victim, diba?
Victim, yeah.
Yeah. Ken Warren, not just a social media presence, but he's a pop culture geek as well.
I'm in the city of the stars, dude. Can't blame me.
City of the stars.
Gotta love it. Now, Chris, what's going through your mind right now? I mean, what's holding you back from tearing Ken Warren apart?
Okay, what's going through my mind right now is I am focused. You know, I've been set back a bit because I lost that match, but only by a thread. Only by a thread. Because I think Ken Warren got lucky.
Wow.
So, yeah, right now, I know his weak spots. I know where to hit him right in the money.
Okay, Chris, tell me, ano ba yung mga weakness ni Ken Warren? Because you're telling me that you know how to figure him out, but he beat you.
Exactly.
He was the one who got the 1-2-3. So ano ba yung mga weakness ni Ken Warren?
I don't know. I think walang internet.
Are you kidding me? You have to bring that up. That's not even the issue. Still, there's no internet, right? But I beat you because I don't need the Wi-Fi of Makati Cinema Square. All the Wi-Fi I need is the piss right fist of mine and my sick right kick. Right down your face.
He brought his own hotspot.
All right, take it easy, boy. Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, take it easy, kid. Take it easy. May Wi-Fi tayo dito sa Mellow 94.7 Studios.
Thank God.
But going back to the match, I thought, for one, Chris Panzer had it all figured out because he was all set to win that match. No offense, Mr. Ken Warren, but he had your number and he was close, but he didn't get the job done. But what was going through your mind right after that match? Now you were just so close.
I don't know. I thought I had it. You know, I had Panzer Monia behind me. I was all set, and then boom, that happened. So it took a toll on me. But like I said, Panzer Monia, we won't back down. We get back up, and December 6th, I'll give it 101%.
Chris, I gotta ask you, what did your fans say? Like, I know you have a lot of followers for Panzermonium, but did some people stop believing in Panzermonium after you lost to Ken Warren?
Oh, you know what? I got some loyal followers, you know.
Shout out to Ralph. Hey, my boy Ralph is the number one Panzermoniac. Moniac?
We still haven't resolved that. Chris,
what do we call your fans?
It is still a mystery. But you'll find out one day. All right, you gotta believe first.
I got an idea. Call them losers. Point one from the boy back home.
Damn. All right. No, seriously, Chris, you gotta tell us. Like, what did your followers have to say? Like, did you lose any? Did they have your back? How did they react to you losing to Ken Warren in a very tight match, tightly contested match?
Well, they still believe in me, and that's it. You know. I didn't lose any. You know, I'm telling you, man, these guys really give me strength. You know, I thought they're not going to believe in me anymore. I don't know. It's just, you know, heartwarming for me that, you know, some people would just say, you know, that was a great match. You know, you'll get it next time.
What do you have to say about that, Ken Warren?
Woo-hoo! Their hero's a loser! Woo-hoo!
What's this, a drama show? This is not ABS-CBN or GMA. Come on, guys. Ken, it's wrestling.
Ken, I gotta ask, you were the winner in that match. Yeah. You were the big winner at Renaissance. What made you agree to a rematch against Chris Panzer? You've beaten him already, 1-2-3. What do you have left to prove?
To be honest, I was just booked here, right? I was just booked for PWR Terminus on December 6th, and I had no clue who would be my opponent, but apparently, through social media on Facebook just recently, I found out it's, you know, Chris Panzer.
So what are you doing this for? What's your motivation for stepping back into the ring against Chris Panzer?
Because I already beat him. Maybe if I prepare, I could just open my Facebook like 3 minutes before the match. and I would beat him, you know? Check my notifications, comment or something, greet someone happy birthday. I don't know.
Is it safe for me to assume that you're also doing this for the purse?
I'm doing this for the money.
Yeah.
This for just for the show. Because the past show I was doing this for, you know, my passion. This one's just for the money.
So it's really the guy. Really your agent pulling the strings here.
Like probably
some magic.
Yeah, it's you know, it's Christmas season. I need to buy my family some stuff. It's gonna be hard times, but hard times, dude. Hard times.
I know Chris Panzer. Yeah, I gotta ask Chris Panzer. I know you've been raking in some gigs. I've seen your TV commercial. In case you guys didn't know, our boy Chris Panzer over here is a legitimate commercial model.
Yeah, last time I thought it was an old commercial, but then I saw it while I was at the gym like a few weeks ago. So bago lang pala siya, no?
Yeah, yeah. Can we mention the chewing gum? I think we can, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're not sponsored.
Yeah, so Judge Chewing Gum got Chris Panzer as their face. You are the face of Judge Chewing Gum. How'd that happen, Chris?
Oh, you know, I just went through a casting and, you know, they like my stuff.
Yeah?
They're just going to chew and look happy.
So, but you didn't look happy there. You look confused.
Yeah. No, the first part, I was like confused because there's a lot of, you know, people like banging in so hard on me, and then you just eat a chewing gum and then you'll feel chillaxed.
Maraming girlalu dun sa commercial, papi.
Oh, papi, ang daming girlalu dun.
Oh, mga ano, Ateneo volleyball.
Oh! Oh!
Yung pala type ni Chris Panzer. And now that we're on the subject, ano nga si Chris Panzer, papi, ano ba mga type mo sa mga chicks?
Ano nga, papi, gusto ko yung
Scarlet.
Ano, ano, yung may, you know, may ass. You know, working out, you know, they got that.
So yung mga anaconda levels, ganun.
Opa, wag naman ganun. Di ko na kaya yun.
So hindi mo kaya maging parang si Drake na nakaupo ka and then nandun na sa harap si Nicki Minaj.
Oh, shh. Di ko kaya yun, you know.
Di mo kaya yun.
Are the girls back in Detroit like that?
You know, girls back in Detroit? That'd be crazy, man. Holy crap.
Now, you were telling us off the air before we started recording that you did go back to Detroit after that loss against Ken Warren. So what went through your mind and what was that trip for?
Yeah, what did you do?
Well, I can't say that. It's not like finding myself, but you know, it's I just wanted like get away for a bit just to put my mind at ease, and you know, just it's like a vacation. You know, I miss Detroit. You know, shout outs, by the way, you know, Terry Q Ball, Yellow Brick Court, miss you guys.
Hey guys.
So did the PWR guys hear from you while you were away, while you were in Detroit?
I went off the grid for a bit.
And, you know, being off the grid, I'm sure that's something Ken Warren knows nothing about because your social media presence is, it's just everywhere.
Wait. Ken Warren got the win, but Chris Panzer has a commercial. Who is the more, ano dun? Who's more
over?
Yeah.
Well, just to put it out there, I was just at a premiere night last night, you know, Quezon City Cinema International Film Festival. You know, the mayor is just right in front of me. Vice mayor just right in front of me as well. Celebrities at the back. No big deal, you know.
So how many retweets did you get? Did you go see Sangalan ni Ultimate Warrior?
Yeah, I represented PWR.
Yeah.
And,
how was it?
The movie's short but sweet. So
How short is it?
15
I would like
minutes?
To know. Oh, I see.
So was it worth it?
Yeah, pay like 100 bucks. 100 pesos.
Yeah, you got to be politically correct. Now, how many retweets did you get from your appearance at the QC International Film Fest?
Well, I actually didn't tweet. I posted on my Instagram at the Ken Warren Cheap Pop right there, kids. And, I got some likes and got some questionable comments. But, you know, people are going to hate. Those haters actually love me. Because, you know, why would you hate a guy who's so badass? The whole fucking package.
Yabang talaga.
Lalo, papi, nakita ko yung Instagram niya. May picture siya with Chris Aquino.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I wasn't messing. Like,
you're rubbing shoulders with the presidential sister.
Yeah, just, you know, hanging out, Halloween night, hanging out with Chris Aquino.
So what was your costume, Ken Warren?
I was just wearing this exclusive t-shirt, Dracula Untold t-shirt, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
you can't
oh.
just get that on the department store, kids.
You got the swag.
Right, but speaking of t-shirts, Ken Warren is sporting a very sweet t-shirt right now. It's a Ken Warren shirt. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, well, I got this idea of mine, you know, more badass than Brock Lesnar. Eat, sleep, post, retweet.
Now, I'm looking at the shirt right now. And earlier when you came in, I saw something at the back. There's something written in there as well. Can you tell me what's written at the back of your shirt, Ken?
Absolutely. Wait, bro, there's a problem, though. I couldn't actually read from, you know, it's at the back of my shirt. I couldn't read it. Hey, Chris P. Papa P. Panzer, come on. Read it for me.
Really? What?
Can't you read? Come on.
It says hashtag that at the Ken Warren.
Very good. Give you an 8.
You gotta love how he's cooperative. You know, Chris is good guy Panzer, man. good guy Panzer. But you know, I gotta ask you, Chris, where's your T-shirt?
Yeah, I'm sure. I know your loyal fans would like to see a T-shirt.
But quote unquote loyal fans.
See, rough loyal fan.
Not plural singular.
Sure, see.
Yeah. So when are we seeing a Chris Panzer T-shirt, man?
Real soon. You know, it's in a mass production right now. Well, I can't say how it looks like. You guys just gotta wait.
Yeah, we can't exactly see it from here.
Right, right.
I could actually read it for you right now. It says nothing.
I'm loving this guy.
Point two from the boy back home.
I am loving this guy. Your mic game is stepping up, brother.
Must be the gum. Chillax, brother. Chillax.
Is it Judge?
Yes, Judge, the red one.
Oh, whoa. Kumita si Panzer dun pare.
Okay, Chris, you lost the first match. There's no doubt about that. No denying the facts. So, what now? How big is the pressure going into this match? Like, I know it has to be monumental, but how is it? Can you tell us exactly how it is right now for you?
Okay, you are correct with the monumental pressure because I went to Detroit, and up to now, I'm still thinking about it. I can't really say. You know, Ken Warren, bro, you are very good in the ring. You know, it's hard to top that, but that's it. You know, I know deep inside that I can beat you, and I know that you know you just got lucky. But this time, that Wi-Fi ain't gonna connect. Pulling the plug, bro. I'm sorry.
Oh, I love that. Pulling the plug.
It's such a huge threat. I mean, Ken Warren, Chris Panzer is oozing with confidence. How do you respond to somebody who's confident and really believes deep down in their heart that they can beat you this time around?
Well, you know, here's a try to pick up yourself line for you, Panzer. Since it's the holiday season, Santa must have come early this year because you are first on my kick the ass off list. Oh, and to answer your question, what was the question again? Sorry.
The question was, how do you respond to somebody who's got a lot of confidence, believing deep down in their heart that they can beat you this time around?
Show me, kid, you know. Talk is cheap. You show me in the ring, kid.
Talk is cheap. Hearing that from you is very surprising because you like to run your mouth a lot. You not only run your mouth on the mic, but you also run your mouth on social media. So where is this coming from? Some hinuhugot yung talk is cheap when you're the one who talks a lot.
Wala akong quote in a quote hinuhugot, pero meron akong pinapasok.
Oh, 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 oh,
oh, that.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Point three from the boy back home.
We're not PG, though. Please, but I did not see that coming.
Literally.
No, I didn't. But now, Chris, tell me now, how are you going to prepare heading into this match? I know you're not going to reveal everything because Ken Warren is right here. But what kind of preparations will you be putting yourself through heading into Terminus for December 6th?
Just train hard. And I just believe. I believe in myself, and I believe in Panzermonium. And that's it. That's all I need.
So what's next for Panzermonium? I know I asked you this before, but I want to ask you this again. Where does Panzermonium go from here? I know it's a movement. I know it's a lifestyle. But where do you want to take this moving forward?
Where does Panzermonium go? Well, it's this like a reawakening. They saw me fall, and they will see me rise. And they will just see me getting back up, you know, fall 7 times, stand up 8. And that's, you know, just going to repeat that. Fall down, get back up. Don't give up.
I like that. I remember that commercial from Converse with Dwayne Wade on it. Fall 7 times, stand up 8. I like that because that's something everybody can relate to. And that's why a lot of people are pulling for Chris Panzer. A lot of people are believing in Panzermonium because we've all been there. We've all been that guy who's failed on the big stage and just trying to get back up. Now, Ken Warren.
I haven't.
I was about to ask, Can you relate to an experience like that where, you know, you failed but you just want to fight and fight and fight and get back up?
Oh yeah, there was this one time I screwed up making an account. That was it. Online account. Maybe it's Twitter or Facebook, I can't remember.
But you got yourself back on track.
Yeah, like one mistake. I got to click the enter button and everything, you know.
So Ken, now that we know that you don't get your social media accounts mixed up, I got to ask.
Yeah.
What's going to go through your mind heading into December 6th? Like, how are you going to prepare yourself and psych yourself up for a rematch against a guy you know you've beaten?
It's like the team song of Shane McMahon. Here comes the money. Here we go, money talk. Here comes the money. You feel me, dog?
Pwede siya pang Bose Avenue.
Oh, okay. Sasabihin ko nga, diba? Parang we can bring you in as a guest on Bose Avenue next time.
Thank you. Wait, what's that?
Bo's Avenue is one of our segments where we actually sing songs, sing wrestling songs to the style of Boys Avenue.
What's Boys Avenue?
You'll find out.
They're big on YouTube.
Really?
Yes, they are.
I'm going to ask my agent again.
I guess you don't have enough time. You know, it's fine. It's fine. I get you. You're a busy guy. You're a big star on social media. You don't have enough time to know all these other big stars on social media. All right, now, I've got a question about PWR Boot Camp because I know you guys are alumni of the boot camp and I know you guys show up regularly there as well. So, Chris, let me ask you, how are you involved with the training program at PWR Boot Camp?
Well, I observe as well as the whole roster. You know, we just observe them. And let me tell you, these guys are hella good. You know, compared to my progress before.
Yeah.
Where they are now.
Yeah.
They're like way up there, dude. They got a lot of potential. And these guys, you just need to like wait for these guys until they get in the ring.
Uh-huh.
They're going to wow you, man.
I have an extra question for you because I know that one of the guys from boot camp is a huge Chris Panzer fan. His name is Ralph, by the way. And are we going to see you take Ralph under your wing very soon? Is he going to be like a future tag team partner or a protege of sorts moving forward?
Sorry, it's funny to me. he's such a huge Panzer, Mark. It's crazy.
Well, Ralph, you know, we love you, buddy. We appreciate the effort. And I know you're training hard. And who knows, maybe one day, you know, take you in my wing or something like that.
He's got a great future. All right, now let me ask Ken. Yeah. You're also an alumnus of the very first boot camp. Now, what goes through your mind when you see these guys training in the ring?
Well, they're pretty good. I like that big dude, big bald dude. He could be useful to me, you know?
Big bald dude.
Yeah, he could be useful to me.
So what's his name? Like, can you describe this big bald dude?
He's big, he's bald, and I think his name is an initial or something.
I think you're referring to a guy named MDJ.
Yeah, I think it's that's him. Hey, dude, if you're listening right now, which you are because I'm here, if you want a big paycheck this Christmas, just hit me up on Twitter, at TheKenWarren.
Wow, wow. An open invitation. Ken Warren is looking for an enforcer. And who else to ask but one of the biggest guys from the boot camp roster, MDJ. Wow, this is big news right here.
Parang number one draft pick ata si MDJ.
Oh, okay, parang naging number one draft pick. Here's the question, though. I want to ask both of your opinions.
I know it.
On this motherfucker right here. How is Ro holding up at boot camp?
I see the intensity. I can see it in your eyes, man. I can feel it. Just keep on doing that. Keep
thank
on training.
You, Chris. Thanks to you, man.
Rose, my homeboy. Dude, you'll get there.
I love the optimism. You have to hand it to Ken Warren. At least he knows how to be positive, even a little bit.
Yeah,
just for Ro. All right, I guess we're about to end our interview with Chris Panzer and Ken Warren, but I want to hear you guys one last time. Invite our listeners on the SGP podcast to show up this December 6th. So let's start with Ken.
Geeks, nerds, and everything in between. Catch me, yours truly, the social media sinister, the crowd proclaimed meme and trending topic, the OG of IG, the hashtag candid attention bandit. What did I miss? Oh, yeah, the face of Facebook, Twitter's favorite, on December 6th, PWR Terminus at the Makati Square Arena, formerly known as Makati Cinema Square, for the very reasonable price of 250 pesos. Bell time is at 6 p.m. and show starts at 7 p.m. or a bit later.
Ito na lang, last question, Ken Warren. Magkaka-Wi-Fi na ba sa Makati Cinema Square by then?
It's like I said before, brother. The only Wi-Fi I need is my pissed right fist and my sick right kick.
That was good. But you're all talk, and Panzermonium will run right through you.
All right. Now, of course, we know that our boys from PWR are on social media. So, Chris, can you please tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you on social media?
Follow me on Instagram, Twitter. That's at PWR Panzer. And just search me up on Facebook, Chris Panzer, PWR.
And of course, needless to say, but we got to ask, Ken Warren, your social media handles for our listeners.
Wait, before I say anything else, just to put it out there. Hey, Panzer.
Yeah.
Kid, you're tough. You're one tough SOB. But the keyword right there is SOB. So you're an SOB. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, going back. Wait, you want to say something? Later. Yep. Yeah, later. You want to say something?
No, I get it. SOB. Yeah, you're good. Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Yeah.
You sure? You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Commercial Amboy, you sure? Sure? Okay, fine. Here's my social media accounts. At the Ken Warren for Twitter and on Instagram. And of course, Ken Warren-PWR. Again, they made me do it. For Facebook. There you have it, folks.
All right. There you have it. Ken Warren versus Chris Panzer once again going one-on-one on December 6. The show's called Terminus, brought to you by Philippine Wrestling Revolution. And it's at the Makati Cinema Square. We will see you there. Wow, what an interview between Ken Warren and Chris Panzer. It was actually fun having them both on the show again. And I just got to say, Ken Warren, man, all these things coming out of his mouth, left and right, left and right. Shit.
Wow, he's really gotten better.
He stepped up his mic game.
And Chris Panzer, I mean, Panzermonium, picking up.
Still running wild. Still running wild.
I'm glad that he hasn't given up despite having lost to Ken Warren. I know his spirits are still on the way up, but we wish both Chris Panzer and Ken Warren nothing but the best in their current endeavors.
True. Yo, that. Current true endeavors. That. Current endeavors.
And future, not in.
And future. I mean, December 6 is coming up quickly.
Less than a month away.
No, exactly a month away.
Yeah.
Well, as of posting, less than a month away.
All right. It's time for our picks of the week.
Right, if you're new to this segment, the picks of the week, basically these are the best or the most must-see things, in our opinion, from wrestling this week, something you just have to watch. Who's going to go first this time?
I say you.
Yeah, fine, I'll go ahead.
You might as well.
Yeah, my pick of the week is from the first episode of Lucha Underground. It's from last week, but since we're recording on Friday, but not two episodes now. So I'm picking the main event of the very first Lucha Underground. Johnny Mundo, the former John Morrison, because he's a man who goes by many names.
Juan Morrison.
Against the guy you know as Ricochet, Prince Puma. It was a fun main event in Lucha Underground. It was pretty much something you would expect from a Lucha Libre match. A lot of high flying. I love the way they countered each other's moves. Very fast paced, very exciting, and it was enough to tell a story.
I think Juan is finally in his element. Huh?
I guess, save for the fact that he's still, in my opinion, better off as a gringo heel, as a pretty boy gringo heel, making fun of fast wrestlers.
This Lucha thing is his element. It's acrobatic. Yeah. It's flashy.
Suitable for his parkour style.
He's gonna have an easier time here. Like working.
So yeah, if you have time, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Go catch Lucha Underground. Go catch the very first main event, Johnny Mundo versus Prince Puma. It was exciting. You don't even need to listen to Stryker and Vampiro at that point. You can just watch the match, put it on mute. You'll have a blast.
Links are on the group.
That's right.
Because it is Lucha Underground. We've posted our underground links on the group.
Underground, yeah, nice. I like that.
And if you're not part of the group yet, do join us. It's facebook.com/group/smarkgilaspilipinas.
Oh, love that.
All right. What about you? What's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is Sami Zayn versus Tyson Kidd from main event this week.
Why am I not surprised?
Admittedly, I am a generico Sami Zayn mark. I mark out so hard. I love him.
The last two minutes of the match.
I mean, we've seen good work from both men recently. I mean, most recently on Raw from Tyson Kidd. But this just keeps getting better. I mean, Sami Zayn's Road to Redemption, this is part of it. I am so happy for him. And main event is one step closer to main roster.
JBL was hoping that he gets to be a main...
A full-time roster guy. And... Imagine the matchups and start drooling.
It's going to be so much fun.
You know, I feel bad for not having seen this match yet, but I'm certain I will go see this match over the weekend. I will do myself a favor and do
that. It's like, what, 8-6 minutes?
It's a short match, but good God, these guys work.
Anyway, my pick of the week is the main event of this week's Raw. Orton versus Rollins, because for one, it's actually a straightforward match. No.
Uh-huh. No shenanigans.
Post-match
shenanigans.
Unlike last week's main event. And again, Rollins was fresh off a rather relatively lengthy match against Dolph Ziggler earlier in the night and still wrestled as though it was his first match.
Wow. Because these guys can go.
CrossFit does a whole lot of good.
Oh, man. But it gets you fit for life.
You got to see the whole thing, the whole match, and then what comes after. It's really a huge moment.
And you can really see the evolution of the Randy Orton character.
Pun intended. Pun intended.
All right, that's going to do it for us for our picks of the week and for the show episode number 31 of the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. We're going to go get some drinks now, but before that, we got to invite you to watch this movie with us. It's a short film which is part of the Quezon City International Film Festival.
I love Interstellar.
That's not short.
Yo, I'm going to watch that on Sunday, but
watch in IMAX though, pare.
I'm going to take note of that. We're going to catch this, at least Mr. Camus and I. We're going to go catch Sangalan ni Ultimate Warrior, which is written and directed by one of our members on SGP. His name is Mico Livello. He's the writer and director. And we're going to be interviewing him right here on the SGP podcast next week.
Right here.
Exclusively
on the SGP podcast. Cheap fast.
So, you know, we're excited to have Mico Livello on the show. We want to talk about Sangalan ni Ultimate Warrior, obviously, his wrestling fandom, pick his brain a little bit. And that's something to tease you about, you know, episode number 32. And with that, we're going to be closing the podcast. Thank you so much for always tuning in. Thank you to the Mellow 94.7 bosses for always letting us use their studio, their equipment. And thank you for downloading, for playing, for sharing, telling your friends, and most importantly, for giving us your feedback. Please rate us on iTunes, rate us on Facebook. Let us know. Give us some feedback. Tell us how we can improve. And don't forget to follow us on
the Twitter.
On the Twitter.
I was going to say that, yeah. Since you said it anyway, yeah. Follow us on the Twitter. It's at Stan947 for me.
At CavemanCamus for me.
At Roizvar.
Man, we need some drinks. We're going to get out of here. Happy Friday. Happy weekend. You guys stay safe. We will see you at Sangalan ni Ultimate Warrior on Tuesday, 12 noon at Trinoma. And of course, for episode 32 of the SGP podcast. Peace out.
Peace.
Hey, this is Chris Panzer, and you are listening to the SGP podcast.